Everybody praise the Lord. Let me hear you. Hallelujah. I said everybody praise the Lord. Well, thank God for the worship session. I pray that as God has prepared your heart to receive, you receive what will transform your life for the better in Jesus' name. Already, as I told you, we're dealing with A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J. Now I come to the next five letters. K, L, M, N, O. And everything will be produced in your life in Jesus' name. I want an amen that will excite me to preach to you. Lift up your hands as we pray. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you at this time. And we're asking, Lord, your touch and transform every heart, every life, and bring us to the position where we have real, stable, solid, steadfast transformation in Jesus' name. Prepare us to do what you have called us to do and what we're created to do in this life. And we pray nothing will be missing in our lives in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, because we know you have answered. In Jesus' name I pray. God bless you. You can sit down. As we come to this evening session, I'm talking to you on K, kingdom, L, living, M, made, N, newly, and then O, obtainable. Put everything together, kingdom, living, made, newly, obtainable. There is something we're to obtain. There's something we're to have, and we need to understand is newly made for you. When Christ went to the cross of Calvary, he gave something, he did something, and it's newly made for you. And it's kingdom living. Before I come to the living or the life in the kingdom, kingdom living, I want to remind you, we were born as babes. And as we were born as babes, what did I know? I knew nothing. What could you do? You could do nothing. In fact, it's like, number one, we were unkempt. Although we were born, eyes there, ears there, every part of the body there, unkempt. Why? Untouched. I wasn't taught anything as a babe like that. Although he had made me, and he made me to do something on earth, I didn't get started at that time because I was unkempt, I was untaught, I was untrained. I didn't even know the alphabet, what I'm looking at now. I didn't know all that. And the same thing, although you were created by God and created in a wonderful way, because you were untaught, because you were untrained, you were unprepared. You were not prepared for what you will achieve, what you will do, and what was to happen in your life. You were uncoordinated, coordinating the eyes with the ears, with the mouth, with the hands, and with the legs. You were uncoordinated, and you couldn't do anything at that time. That's why we're here. Although we have all those things internally and externally, although we have all the limbs and all the nerves and everything Something has to happen before we can be transformed to lead. Well, we're unusable. In our natural way, in our natural life, we were unusable as well as unprofitable. I'm sure you would have heard this word, G-I-G-O. Garbage in, garbage out. As we came through life, a lot of things were coming into our heart, into our life. And much of those things were garbage in and then garbage out. It's what came in that will be able to pour out, and those things were not useful. That's why we now come to the Lord and we want to have the touch of the kingdom power and the kingdom life and the kingdom lifestyle in us, so that everything will change in your life tonight. Everything will change. Because the life changer, the heart changer, and the personality changer is here tonight, and is going to take you from where you were to where you ought to be. Give me a good amen. Amen. When he does that in your life, holds your life, turns your life around, transforms you, number one, you're going to become unstoppable. I am going to become unstoppable because now I come to the Lord. He takes over my life. He transforms my life. He transforms your life. And he says that's the goal and that's the ideal and that is the destiny you were made for. And as you have the grace of God now, the strength of the Lord now, and the transforming power of the Lord in your life, you will become unstoppable. I will become. I will become unstoppable. Number two, undefilable. You see, there are things that come to our lives and they defile us. And although we wanted to go to that height, the defilement destroys even the energy within and the aspiration within. But as the Lord recreates us, and as the Lord takes our lives and he makes us acceptable to him, and he says, you came into this world, I wash off all those things that had been in your life before you met me, and now you can be unstoppable and you will be undefilable. Give me a good amen. Amen. Three, you know, as we go through life, and I want to get there, I want to achieve that, I want to have that, I want to make that, there are stumbling blocks in the way. But the Lord so makes it, as he transforms your life, and it's for a purpose. It makes you number three, undefeatable. That means whatever comes, whatever happens, that thing will not defeat you. It will not defeat me. When somebody is running in a race and then there's something that double crosses his way and he becomes defeated, he cannot get to the end of the line. We have to be practical. We have to see that this is the area and this is the place the Lord needs to help me so that I'll be unstoppable, I'll be undefilable, I will be undefeatable. Good amen coming from you. Unconquerable. I said unconquerable. Undefeatable, unconquerable, and the Lord himself will help you. You see what the world does when once you come to the world, they say, this is your place, this is your room, this is your territory. Don't go beyond that, but God comes to get you out of that box. I said God comes to get you out of that box. And then you become unconfinable. That nothing confines your life. That he says, this is the place to go. And this is what to achieve. You begin to look at your life. Many people, they don't look at all these things. They just say, I'm all right. I'm okay. I'm moving on. I'm transformed to lead. But they're so confined in their lives. They're so confined in their understanding. But the Lord brought you here to so change your life and to so transform your life that you'll become unconfinable. Give me a good amen. Amen. And then the devil wants to, you know, touch your life and trample over your life because of, you know, now you have a good goal, you have a good intention, and you have a good destiny, but it'll make you untouchable. Amen. Sickness will not touch you. Satan will not touch you. All those things that come and they want to derail you and divert you, untouchable. I will be untouchable. Unpreventable. Unpreventable. That means you want to go out there. Somebody stands at the door and says, what's your name? From which family? Where are you coming from? Get back. People like you don't come here. They prevent you from mounting up and going to the place where God wants you to get to. And the Lord comes to tell you tonight, he wants to walk in your life tonight. He wants to transform your life and change your life. You'll be unpreventable in Jesus' name. Where you need to get to, the Lord will not allow anything to hinder or to prevent or to close the door. Unpreventable in Jesus' name. I said I'm talking to you on kingdom living. That's what kingdom living is all about. When you come into the kingdom and you're given, you're imparted with the life of the kingdom, you will become so steady and so steadfast and so sure that this is the place to go, and nothing will stop you in Jesus' name. Kingdom living made newly obtainable. Now you can obtain, now you can attain. We're looking at 1 Peter chapter 2, and I'm reading from verse 5. It says, he also, that means other people have got it, and you also. Tonight, you also. Me also. Let me hear you. Me also. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Look at verse 9. In verse 9, but ye are a chosen generation. The Lord has chosen you. What are you? The Lord has chosen you. Say, the Lord has chosen me. It says, but here a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. He chose you and he called you out. He's calling you out of something. And then he says, into his marvelous light. We need to realize that and understand that. That as you come to this world, you are in darkness. In the darkness of sin. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that's why we couldn't naturally achieve what the Lord has created us for without his aid and without his help. But now he comes and he brings you out. He calls you out. He pulls you out of darkness into his marvelous light. In Ephesians chapter 1, reading from verse 11. Ephesians 1, 11. In whom also we have obtained. We have to obtain. We have to get it from him. He provides it and he gives unto us. And he says, in him, in whom, in Christ, we also have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all sins after the counsel of his own will. And then he says in verse 12, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. As we come to trust in Christ, then he makes us to obtain everything that will make you and I to be what I ought to be and what you ought to be. And tonight is going to do that great work in your life in Jesus' name. We're looking at K, and K means kept kindness for all king's kids. When you come to the Lord, and when your life is turned around, then you become a king's kid, a king's child, a king's son, a king's daughter. And because you become a king's kid, son, daughter, child, then he has kindness kept for you. I'm going to use the story of Mephibosheth. And he tells us, Second Samuel chapter 9, reading from verse 1. It says in Second Samuel chapter 9, verse 1, and David said, is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul, that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? Anyone left unqualified? Anyone left untrained? Anyone left untaught? Anyone left unprofitable? Anyone left of the house of Saul, that I may show him kindness? That kindness had been kept for such a person. And then we're told in verse 3, it says in verse 3, and the king said, is there not yet any of the house of Saul, that I may show the kindness of God unto him? And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan has yet a son, which is lame in his feet. And that's not the kind of person you think the kindness of the king will be kept and reserved, and then they will have this special kindness. Maybe you look at yourself and you see that you're lame, you're impotent, you're wobble, you're weak, and in your private personal life, you're like this and like that, and you don't think you are qualified for anything. But as you become a kid of the king, a daughter of the king, and a child, a son of the king, the kindness reserved for the king's kid will come to you tonight in Jesus' name. And then we're told in verse 4, it says, and the king said unto him, where is he? Where is he? That's why I'm asking, and I always ask, what is he there? And where is she there, king's kid, that is going to receive the kindness of the king today? Where is he? Praise the Lord, you are there. And where is she there? Praise the Lord, you are there. And the kindness of the king, the kindness of the ruler, and the kindness of the Lord of lords, of the King of kings, that kindness will come upon your life today in Jesus' name. And Ziba said unto the king, behold, he is in the house of Maacah, and the son of Amiel in Lo-debar. Then in verse 5, it says in verse 5, then King David said, and fetched him out of the house. Then in verse 6, it says, in verse 6, now, when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, Mephibosheth, and he answered, behold thy servant. Look at verse 7. In verse 7 it says, and David said unto him, fear not. The Lord is telling you tonight, fear not, everything will change. Change for the better. Everything will come to the place where you will say, now I know I have the kindness of the King, of the King of Kings and of the Lord of Lords, the kindness that forgives, the kindness that lifts you up, the kindness that changes your life, the kindness that transforms your life. It says, fear not, for I will surely, surely, there is no shadow of doubt, the Lord has brought you in, and the Lord is calling you, and he says there should be no shadow of doubt in your heart now. Surely, surely the Lord will take over your life, and surely the Lord will transform your life. Surely the Lord will make you what he has called you to be, and I will be, and I will be what the Lord has called me for. He says, surely I will show thee kindness for Jonathan's, thy father's sake. The kindness we receive is not of merit. I'm so good. I'm so pure. I'm so righteous. I'm so spotless. I'm so different from other people. Therefore, I have this kind. No, no, no. It's not of merit. It is the mercy of the Lord. It says, for the sake of Jesus, for the sake of Christ, for the sake of the one who died for you, for the sake of the one who thought about you and went to the cross to die for you. He said, it is for his sake. And so you don't contribute anything to this. It's not because I've done this, I've done this, I've done that. It says, it's for Jesus' sake. And I will restore thee all the land of Saul, thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. Thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. The Lord will do it. For who? I said, for who? Almost unbelievable, incredible, that the Lord himself will say, forget you are not qualified, forget you are unprofitable, forget you are unusable. I do a new thing, and that new thing that will come upon you, there will be a new status, a new name, a new standing, because it brings you into his kingdom, and it shows you the kindness because of Jesus. In Titus chapter 3, we're looking at verse 4. Titus chapter 3, verse 4. It says, but after the kindness and love of God, our Savior toward man appeared. You see, that's what I was telling you, that is the kindness of Jesus, is the kindness of God that comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. After that has come, we can now come in because he invites us. He invites you tonight. I said he invites you tonight. And as you come, the Lord will show the kindness kept, reserved, all King's King. I come to KL now. L is lifted by love for loyalty to the Lord. We're lifted. He lifts us up. We were there in the dungeon, or we were there in the valley, or we were there, and we couldn't help ourselves. Reminds me of a child that fell into the well and cried out and say, somebody up there, help me. Oh, and they told him, find your way and climb up. And he tried this direction, that direction. He wanted to climb up, but he could not. By himself, unaided, without an external help, and without the help of the one up there, he remained there. He was about drowning until somebody came and threw a rope down and said, catch that rope. He caught the rope, and then he was lifted up. The Lord is about to lift you up. I said, the Lord is about to lift you up. That's what he does. That's what he does. He's brought us into this world, and we'll find ourselves in the well. We're drinking sin. We're surrounded by sinners. And everything around us, it was like we're going to drown by the sins of society. But we cried out, anyone up there, Jesus Christ, who has gone up after he was lifted up on the cross, he said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all souls unto myself. And as you cry for help, and as you cry for his salvation, as you cry for his lifting up, he will lift you up in Jesus' name. In Psalm 61, reading from verse 2, Psalm 61, verse 2, it said, from the end of the earth will I cry unto thee, when my heart is overwhelmed. Many things in life that overwhelm us. The journey overwhelms us, like it overwhelmed the children of Israel. And all the happiness of the world to our lives, they come to deal blow after blow. We're overwhelmed. And the decisions we have, and the vision we have, and the mountain we want to climb higher, steeper than we could climb, they all overwhelm us. And the life we're called to live, I cannot live like that, I cannot live like that, because it overwhelms me. And the journey, the assignment, the work we're to do is greater than our strength. And we say, I am overwhelmed. And then we pray, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. The Lord will lift you up today from where you have been. And he lifts you up to where you ought to be because of his love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, that's you, that whosoever, that's you there, daughter, that whosoever, that's you there, son, that whosoever shall believe on his name will not perish but have everlasting life. And then when he lifts you up like that, he makes you loyal to the Lord, faithful to the Lord, giving to the Lord, and living the life that he has ordained and the life that he approves, lifted by love for loyalty to the Lord. How far does he lift us? In Ephesians chapter 2, reading from verse 5. Ephesians chapter 2, reading from verse 5. Even when we were in the past, dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved. By grace are ye saved. The grace of God comes into our lives. And then when we were in the valley, down there in the valley there, in the dungeon there, and we couldn't be what we ought to be, couldn't live the way we ought to live, it says, his grace came to us, by grace are ye saved. And then in verse 6, it says, and has raised us up together. And has raised us up together. Tonight, he'll raise you up together with Christ. And all the things, the chains and the shackles that bound you and tied you down, the heavenly hand will come and cut that rope away from your life in Jesus' name. Because he has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Beyond all the arrows of Satan, and beyond all the powers of evil, he makes us to sit down with Christ in heavenly places, because we're lifted by love for loyalty to the Lord. Now we come to M, and M, we're made for mastery. We're not made for defeat, for dejection. We're not made for failure. Yes, we were failures before, or defeated before, because we didn't have the power, we didn't know the power that comes into our lives and then makes us the man, the woman, the brother, the sister, the boy, the girl we ought to be. But now he comes in his love, he comes in his majesty, he comes in his power, and he makes us to master whatever had mastered us before, because he is the master maker. Made for mastery by the master maker. We come to chapter 6 of Romans. In Romans chapter 6, it tells us what he has done, what is ready to do, and what he will do in your life tonight, in Jesus' name. Amen. In Romans chapter 6, I'm looking at verse 18. It says, being then made. Being then made. Made free from sin. He became the servants of righteousness. He makes us free. It's the only power that gives us the possibility of living in victory over sin, over our peculiar bad habits, over our peculiar bad behavior, over our peculiar bad lifestyle, because he has interest in us, and he has the power to turn everything in our life, turn everything around, be made free from sin. You became the servants of righteousness. Look at verse 22. It says in verse 22, it says, but now, when is your transformation? When is he going to take you out of that place where you are and bring you to the top of your mountain? It says, but now, being made free from sin. Free from sin. Free from sin. Because sin is like a cord that ties us up. Ties our hand. Ties our legs. And blindfolds us. And we cannot even see the direction we want to go because of the sin. But now, he says now, at this time, as you call upon him, as you yield yourself to him, he says, but now be made free from sin and become servants to God. Ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. Somebody shout amen. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. I'm reading from verse 3 there. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 3. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And then in verse 4, it says in verse 4, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Then verse 5 says, and if a man also strive for masteries. A man also strives for masteries. A man also strives for masteries. Not just one area of mastery. We have a temple. This temple, our body, we need to have mastery over that body. And we're saying, Lord, for me to do, to be, to achieve what you have created me to be, to do, to achieve, I need to master my temple, my body. We need to master our temper, because you see, our tempers can actually make us to break everything the Lord has created, as ordained that will be. Some people, they have such bad temper, they cannot keep their job. They have such temper, they cannot keep their educational progress. They have such temper, they cannot keep their home, their family. They have such temper, they cannot keep friends. But we strive for the masteries and will say, I must master my temple. I must master my temple. We must master the tempter, the temptress. There are some people, they're riding on, they're moving on, and until the tempter comes. And when the tempter comes, they're just down. They cannot master the tempter or the temptress. And if you cannot master the tempter, the temptress, you'll not be able to go on and keep on and be where you ought to be. Some people cannot master their tongue. And the tongue is always the problem. They're always shooting out. They're always talking. They're always tailbearing. And they're always saying all those things that shouldn't be said. But we're striving for the mastery. And it is the Lord that comes to make us masters of everything that should have been a problem to us. The people that cannot master their trials and their tests, a test comes to them, a trial comes to them, and they cannot master that. And if we're going to be somebody in life and be where God wants us to be, we must have the mastery over our temple, our body, over our temper and temperament. We must have the mastery over the temptations that come to us and the tempters and the temptresses. And we must have the mastery over all those things that would have come out of our tongue that will then prevent us from being where we ought to be. I pray as the Lord has come at this time. It's when we have not come here to, you know, just come. I was there. Thank God you are here. Amen. I say, thank God you are here. But the Lord wants to make us to master everything. And he is the master maker. He will do it in your life in Jesus' name. If a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. We're coming to end now. That's the next letter. Nurtured in new nature through his name. He needs to nourish us. He needs to nurture us. He needs to care for us. He needs to put things that ought not to be there, put them off completely. Let me illustrate it this way. Everyone has a Judas, a John on the inside. And the Judas on the inside, many times, will shout down the John inside him. The gentle John, the loving John, the soft-spoken John that does not fight with anyone. The Judas there that is wicked and cruel, boisterous, and saying, I'll have my way, I'll have my way. He wants to shout the gentle John down. What do I do? So that Judas on the inside will not have the better part of me. So that the gentle John, the loving John, the prayerful John, and the leaning John, leaning on the Lord, will have the upper hand in my life. I starve the Judas on the inside. I don't feed him. I don't nurture him. I don't take care of him. I don't pay attention to him. And when Judas on the inside is not fed, is not attended to, eventually Judas will die off. Jonah, I will nurture the Jonah, the gentleness and the love and the softness and the happiness and the goodness. I will nurture that in my heart, and then in that nurture, your new nature will come out. After this program, all those bad natures, all those bad habits, all the bad character will try to come back again. You say, that is Judas coming back. I will not pay attention to him. I will not even look at his face. I will not nurture him. I will not feed him. I will not respond to him. And that Judas, eventually, when he knocks and you don't open the door, and when he shouts and you don't give him attention, when he wants attention and you stab him, all that Judas personality will die off in your life. Die off in my life. Die off in my life. And then the gentleness of the Lord, and the grace of the Lord, and the love of the Lord, and the speech of the Lord, when that one knocks, you say, yes, come in. And now you are changed, you are transformed, and everything is all right. Everything will be all right in my life. After this convocation, a change, a transformation, a new life, a new nature, and you are going to live by that new nature in Jesus' name. We're looking at 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, I'm looking at verse 3. It says, according as his divine power, he has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who has called us to glory and virtue. What he has called you to is glory, not degradation, not shameful things, not bad things, not defilement. He has called us to glory and to virtue. And then he says in verse 4, he says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these promises ye might be partakers of the divine nature. Partakers of the divine nature. Partakers of God's nature. Why is it, if I have the divine nature, when God took hold of me, when God took hold of you, and he gave you that new nature, divine nature, why is that divine nature not uppermost in my action, in your action? Because we didn't nurture that nature. Because we didn't nourish that nature. Because we didn't pay attention to that new nature, that divine nature. But when you come to the Lord and you say, now I realize he's giving me a new nature, a divine nature, and I pay attention to that, and I nourish that, and I give all it takes to that, and I give the food of the new nature, which is the word of God. I give the food of the new nature unto that new nature. That new nature will continue to grow, to increase, and to become your first nature, not even your second nature, because we become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. It tells us in Ephesians chapter 4, the kind of nature we now have that we need to nourish, and we need to sustain, and we need to pay attention to. And every morning, as we feed the body, we feed that nature, that inner nature. We read the Bible. We meditate on the word of God. We take in the word of God. And that new nature, spiritual nature, Christ nature, divine nature, will grow in your life, in my life, in Jesus' name. And then he says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. The spirit of your mind, that's the inner nature. Be renewed. What does that mean? You wear clothes, and after you wear the clothes, with the sweat and everything, you dump it there. You want to wear it again, you just put it on. You didn't refresh it. You didn't freshen it. You didn't iron it. You didn't take all the various things and the roughness away. You just wear it over time, and keep on wearing. You must always take that new nature. Always nourish. Always refresh. Always freshen. Always Take all the wrinkles that try to come. Take everything away. And you're renewed in the spirit of your mind. Then it says in verse 24, and that he put on the new man. The new man, that's Christ, new in your life. Now that you are transformed, now that you are changed. But when you're going out, you didn't remember that cloth is for the kitchen. And then you just look for something and you put on and you're going for an interview. You will not be selected. They say, look at him. The cloth is even smelling onion and other ingredients like that. But as you are going out, you look at the appropriate clothes, what I'm talking about, appropriate character, appropriate behavior. Now we're going to do this and we need the kind of clothes that we put on spiritually, and you become acceptable everywhere. That is how you attain. That's how you obtain. And you get to the place you ought to get to. But as you're going out, you don't even mind the kind of language you put on. And the kind of disposition you put on. And the kind of temper you put on. And the kind of temperament you put on. And the kind of skill you put on. You see, I'm a Christian. I am transformed. And just go out like that. Put on the new man. How will Christ behave? How will Christ talk? How will Christ reply? How will Christ respond? You put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. As you nurture that in your life, nurture that new nature, everywhere the Lord wants to take you to, he'll take you there in Jesus' name. K-L-M-N-O. O is obtained openness to oneness with the omnipotent. It's like there's an open door, opportunity for you to come and be in oneness with the omnipotent, the one that is able to do all things, to be connected with him, to be related to him, to be reconciled unto him, that you now obtain an open door to oneness with the omnipotent. Can that be that every time I have a challenge, the omnipotent one will be there? Of course, yes. Can that be that every time I want to solve an unsolvable problem that I couldn't do by myself, can that be that I will be linked up, open door to oneness, one accord with the omnipotent? Yes, it can be. Don't you remember? All power in heaven, on earth, is given unto me. And then it says, and I am with you until the end of the world. That connection, that reconciliation, and that oneness with the omnipotent. And then it says, as he is, so are we in this present world. In 1 John chapter 4, looking at verse 17 there. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is. Look at that. Because as he is. What's he talking about? As Christ is. If Christ were to live in your position today, in your place today, if Christ were to walk the path you are walking today, if Christ were to be faced with the same challenge you are faced with today, what will he do? How will he act? If Christ came inside your body, and then through you he talks, and through you he acts, and through you he reasons, what will he reason? How will he reason? And what will he do? It says, because as he is, so are we in this world. The open oneness is there. He comes to you and you come to him. And as he is, so will you be in this world in Jesus' name. He never lost any battle. You'll not lose battles in your life in Jesus' name. He was never so weak. Father, I'm sorry. I'm so weak now. I can't do what you sent me here to do. Never. And because you live in him and he lives in you, that moment of weakness, it will strengthen you from within in Jesus' name. Is life reproduced in your life? Is strength reproduced in your strength? You are transformed now. You are not what you used to be, but you become a new creature with a new nature, having the nature of Christ in your life. And it says, we obtain openness to oneness with the omnipotent. It tells us in John chapter 17, verse 17. John 17, verse 17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. You know what that means? It says, after we are saved, there's some things in us that will drag us down. After we're saved, even born again, there are things in us that will draw us to what we used to be, where we used to be, and what we used to do. And he says, Lord, they are saved, sanctify them, purge them, purify them. Take those things away, the impediments, take that away, the depravity, take that away, and the things that draws them to defeat and failure, take that away from them. Sanctify them, purge them, purify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And then in verse 21, it says that they all may be one. One with the Father, one with the Son, one with the Holy Ghost. It says that the Father art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us. The openness to oneness with the Almighty, or the omnipotent, that we obtain. And it says that we will be one in him. Then it says that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Look at verse 22. This is beautiful. It says, and the glory which thou givest me, I have given them. Openness to oneness with the omnipotent. The glory that he had, he said, that glory I've given them. He gives us a life that is bright, a life that is shining, a life that is so different from what we were, because that glory now he has given to us, that they may be one, even as we are one. Openness, the oneness with the omnipotent. Verse 23. In verse 23, it says, I in them, Christ in us, the mighty one in us, and the victorious one in us, the conqueror in us. See what he has done, as he has made us to obtain openness to oneness with the omnipotent. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them. Look at that. Hast loved them as thou hast loved me. That's what the Lord wants to do. He wants to give us kindness that is kept for us, because we become the king's kids. He wants to lift us up with the love to loyalty to the Lord, and he wants to make masters of us, so that whatever comes our way, whatever comes to us, we have the mastery, because he is the master maker. He wants to nurture us and nourish us, the new nature in us, that nature of Judas Iscariot gone, that nature of Cain gone, that nature of Pharaoh gone, and that nature of the people that are just wicked and wicked and wicked, all that nature gone. And then he puts the new nature, the divine nature, the nature of Christ, the nature of love into us, and we nurture that nature. And now he makes us obtain openness to oneness with the omnipotent. The Lord will do it. For me. I said for me. He will do it in your life in Jesus' name. I want us all to stand up. We're standing up now. And we're going to tell the Lord one by one. We want that kindness, special kindness. Or want that kindness that the Lord has prepared for us, that the Lord has kept for us. Tell the Lord, open your mouth. Oh Lord, show me the kindness that forgives all my sin, the kindness that sets me free from all my evil, the kindness that turns my life around, the kindness from heaven that you have cared for me. Show me that kindness right now. And then tell the Lord to lift you up. You're falling, you're backsliding, you've done evil, you've been swimming in evil, almost drowning in evil. You're telling the Lord, lift me up by your love. Lift me up by your love. Lift me up by your love. He will lift you now. He will lift you now. As you stretch your hand, your heart, your mind, your soul unto him. Lift me up. Make me to master. Master. Master my temple. Master my tongue. Master my temper. Master my temperament. Master the tempter. Master the temptress. Master the trials. Master everything that comes against my life. Master the trauma that comes in my life. Make me have the mastery. Don't allow your body to lead you astray. Your temple to lead you astray. Your temper, your temperament to lead you astray. Say, oh Lord, here am I. My temper is the challenge. My temper is the problem. And I want you, Lord, grant me the mastery. Grant me the power. Grant me the grace that temple, temper, tongue, tempter, temptress, temptation, trauma, tribulation, trouble, that everything I will master, and I still move on. Move on to victory. Don't be kept down, chained down, tied down by what masters you. And say, Lord, thank you. You give me the divine nature. You give me the nature of Christ. The nature of the first Adam. Excuse making. Lord, take that out of my life and give me the new nature. The nature of Christ. The nature of Jesus. The nature loving and tender, obedient to your word. The nature that climbs up the mountain. Grant me the nature and nurture that new nature. Nurture. Pay attention to that new nature. Nourish that new nature. And let that new nature of Christ grow and crowd out the nature of Judas Iscariot. And come now and obtain the openness to oneness with the omnipotent. Obtain, he gives, you stretch out your hand of faith. Say, Lord, I'm here. I want to receive. I want to have. And then he will give you. And it's for the whosoever. You know yourself, and you know the kind of openness to oneness, to the Almighty, to the Omnipotent you want to have. And the Lord will accomplish that in your life. He offers everyone. And everyone who comes, whosoever comes to me, I will in no wise cast off. Whosoever comes to him, he will in no wise, in no way, for any reason, cast off. And the Lord will do in your life what he has promised to do. That's a kindness that is kept for you. Come and obtain. A lifting up by his love. Come and receive. A making for the mastery. Come and have. A nurture of the new nature. Come and obtain. Obtain the openness, the oneness of the Omnipotent. Amen. Amen. Somebody there shout amen. Amen. The Lord is going to do all that you have requested now, and you will not be the same again in Jesus' name. Transformed to lead. A real transformation that you will know. A real transformation that your neighbors will see and know. She's different. He is different. It's not like it was before. And the temper, the temperament running everywhere as if there's a lion from inside him. Things will be different now, totally different. And then you'll have the openness to the oneness we have with the Omnipotent. He'll do it in my life. He will do it in my life. The Lord confirm that for you in Jesus' name. Raise up that hand. We are praying together. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you for your kindness. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your love that you have preserved for everyone. We come now and we pray that you show that kindness to everyone, every boy, every girl, every man, every woman, every believer. Show your kindness to everyone in Jesus' name. And we're praying that the power of your love that lifts us up out of the valley, out of the dungeon where we were before. We pray that you lift everyone up right now in Jesus' name. And Lord, you make a new man, a new woman, with a new nature, with a divine nature. And you grant us the mastery in every one of our, every area of our lives in Jesus' name. And Lord, that open door you have given, that we will be one with you. One in nature, and one in love, and one in character, and one in everything in the grace of God. We pray that you accomplish now in every life in Jesus' name. Uphold us in this transformation, that the change you have made, the turning around you have made, and the new creature you have made of us will not fizzle away or fade away in any of our lives in Jesus' name. And whatever other things we need in the soul, in the spirit, in the body, in our life, in our profession, anywhere and everywhere, accomplish that in our lives right now. I will pray that the transforming power will go along with us, that when we live here and we go to places we're going, we pray that transformation will show, will be revealed, will be visible in every one of our lives in Jesus' name. Once I was blind, but now I see. Once I was a sinner, but now I am saved. Once I was defeated, but now I am victorious. Once I was conquered, but now I conquer. Affirm that, Lord, in every life. Do that, Lord, in every life. That our transformation will not be just the word of the mouth. It will be a reality in every life in Jesus' name. Confirmation in every life. Manifestation in every life. And the operation of the Spirit of God in every life in Jesus' name. Well, thank you because we know you have answered. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody shout, Amen.